Man, I got caught up in that. I was going to come up here and just wish you a happy birthday and be all excited, but I need a minute to get my breath after that. Good morning. It is a big day at Relentless Church. Now, if you're brand new to us, you get in on this, right? It doesn't matter how long you've been here. We're not going to do that poll of when was your first Sunday at Relentless. So, but we are 5 years old today, right? This is big time, right? When you turn five, right? Some of you got kids, man. When there's really not a difference between 7 and 8. Whatever, you know, second grade to third grade, but 4 to 5, you're out of preschool, like you're doing stuff on your own that you couldn't do before, you're leaving, right? Some of you a few weeks ago, you put your precious little baby, some of you are your firstborn, you put your baby on a school bus and you went back to work or home or like, and you left them because they're five now. They can handle stuff. We're not a toddler anymore, right? It's a big deal. I want to show you this way. I posted this. You might have seen this on, we posted this a few weeks ago with all the first day of school pictures. This is my kid a few years ago, right? So let me explain the faces here. Jackson and Mia are going to kindergarten, right? This is their first day of school picture. They're super excited about school, but their little brother is really mad that he can't go to kindergarten, right? So, come on, Eli, we need you to smile for the picture, and he's just not going to do that. So we just took it how it is, and now it's one of my favorite pictures ever. So this illustrates a Relentless Church. If you were with us at year two, that's kind of who we were, right? The kid in the middle. Now, we're smiling and going to kindergarten and ready to do stuff. So we're so glad you're here. They wanted me to tell you, we celebrated this year. One of the ways we celebrated is we have some amazing cookies, right? They're cookies with the Relentless. You can eat the Relentless logo, right? Now, some of you come in the building and you come right in here and you never go back here to the cafe and where the donuts and stuff are. Well, you missed out, but there's plenty. So after, if you didn't get a celebration five-year-old birthday cookie, make sure you jump in on that because it's well worth it. Man, when I get to my birthday, it comes for me. I don't know about you. Mine comes like every year. When I get to my birthday, I don't spend any time thinking about my actual birth, right? That'd be weird, right? I don't think about my birth. I think about, you know, my life and think about, you know, what I want to eat and those kind of things. But a little different for a church. So when we have a birthday, we do. We actually think back to our birth, right? And again, we don't want anybody to feel like, oh man, I'm not on the inside of this because I wasn't around back on 9/14/14. That was our opening day. We thought that was cool. 9/14/14, the 14th day, 2014. 9/14/14. So our birthday was actually yesterday, but you know, we thought you'd get here better on Sunday than Saturday. So 9/14/14, we do want to kind of bring you into that. And just so you know that like you're not an outsider and everybody was here at the beginning except for me. It's funny that we were complaining about technical difficulties in the video, and now we're going to have technical difficulties. I want you to stand up if, don't lie, okay, this is no pride. If you were present on 9/14/14, if you were in the theater on opening day or working in the kids' room, if you were at Relentless Church on 9/14/14, I want you to stand up right now. Stand up and don't sit down quick because we're going to get a quick count because we want to have the number. Some of you are shy about it. It's nothing to be ashamed of. All right. Can we clap for the pioneers, right? All right, you guys can. We got a decent count, right? It's just a few of you. When I think back, I'd be interested to see what some of your memories are. When I think back to that morning, I remember we met at Crossroads Regal Theater. I remember going, sneaking down the hall, probably 10 minutes before we were supposed to start, and looking out the window at the parking lot, just trying to will cars to pull in the parking lot, you know, like, come on. And here, like, there's a story behind that. I won't go all the way into it, but you want me to use this? Okay, I'd love to, actually. Now, there's a reason I don't normally use this mic because I use both my hands, but I just want you to know I have an alter ego. And when I preach with a handheld mic, I'm just warning you, all right? So just know. So be ready. So back there, you gotta do what you gotta do. So A year before we launched the church, I'm trying to, you know, I know we're supposed to plant a church. I know we're supposed to plant a multi-ethnic church, but a lot of details I'm trying to figure out. So I go to a conference, and it's a conference just for church planters. Here's how you plant a church. And there's all these seminars and breakouts. And I go to this seminar, and the people teaching the seminar tell you very bluntly, if you don't launch your church with 200 people, if you do not have 200 people on opening day, you're not going to make it. And then they had stats, right, and charts and data to back up what they were saying. And there's a bunch of stats that we didn't talk about, right? There's an ugly stat that is always quoted in these things. 75% of church plants don't make it to their fifth birthday. We never told you that because we weren't five yet. Now we're five, so we can talk about that. You know, we're not a statistic. So it's hard to plant a church, right? It's hard to plant a multi-ethnic church. And these people were just genuinely saying, hey, we've studied this and there's data. And if you don't start, because if you don't start with 200 people, you don't have the mass and the momentum. You don't have enough people to do everything. People get worn out and you just can't make it financially. You can't make it ministry. You can't sustain things. So you have to start with 200 people. So I was like, hey, these guys know what they're talking about. 200 people. How hard could that be, right? We'll go get 200 people, and we'll make this thing happen. And we're trying to find people and do all the stuff you do and pre-launch and praying through that. And it's going okay. My mom got diagnosed with cancer May before of September, so 3 months before our launch, which completely changed a lot of things in my personal life and all that. But God was good through it. But I'm there at the window on 9/14/14, and I'm counting cars. I'm like, man, unless there's like 12 people in each car. And by that time, God had worked through like the 200, and we're not going to worry about the number. We're going to worry about whatever he gives us. Let's just go from there. But we had 179 people on opening day. And there was a small group that we were part of in Kentucky that was supposed to come on opening day. And if they would have come and brought all their kids, there's like 23 of them. So I was like, oh, it's their fault. Like, we're going to fail because of my small group, which was irrational. I didn't really mean that, because they were just going to come and not show up. But then we preached on opening day, hey, most church plants, when you start a church from nothing, you lose 50% of your people from week one to week two, not because you're horrible, hopefully, but just because people come from out of town. And we had people from our hometown in Winston-Salem. We had people from Cincinnati. The churches that helped launch us sent people, and it was great. So we said, you know, day one, we're not going to be average. Most churches lose 50%. That's not us. We're relentless church, relentless God. And we weren't average. We lost 60% of our people. So week two, when I say relentless church really started, was week two, and we had 82 people. And I was full of faith, but also in the back of my mind was that seminar, and like at least 179, I could say, like, you know, we're in the ballpark. 82. That's a long way from 200, and God just has been faithful, right? And it's not even about the numbers. And the last thing I want you to hear and feel today is like some sort of patting on the back ceremony for making it to five for me or for our church. It's not that at all. And the reason it's not that at all is because I know us, right? There's no patting on the back to give. This is God being good, right? That's what we celebrate today. Now, I preached a really crazy in-depth message on that first Sunday. I preached from John 3:16, and I told people that God loved them, right? We've been trying to put the gospel on display for 5 years, haven't done it perfectly, but that's been our goal, continues to be our goal. How do we put the gospel? That's where Romans 1:16 says that we're not ashamed of the gospel because it's the power of God. If it's the power of God, the gospel is actually what's going to change your heart. That's where we have these testimonies. I didn't believe there was a God or Jesus or that he could change my life or that he knew me or loved me. I did not believe that on this date. Now I do. How do you get from here to here? Good preaching? No. The gospel is the power of God. All right? We've seen it. We've watched it. So we started with John 3:16, and today, I just want to remind us, I don't know if you've ever been a kid like this or have a kid like this. My kids are overall really good, and some of them, or all of them, actually are in the room today, so I won't throw them under the bus too much, but you ever have a kid that asked for something, and he's so passionate about it until he gets it? I'm the only one, right? So nobody else has that kid. Well, we had, I don't know, 4 years ago, my youngest, who you saw a second ago, I guess he was 8 or 9 or so, he wanted a MIP. Ever heard of a MIP? An M-I-P. It's a stupid little robot, right? A MIP. That's what he wanted. You sure? Yeah, I want a MIP. He was all about the MIP. I got to get the MIP. MIP, 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 MIP. Give me the MIP, right? So it wasn't awful, you know. It wasn't cheap, but it wasn't like, you know, hundreds of dollars. So we got him, I don't know, $40, $50. We got him a MIP, and he loved that MIP. He loved that MIP for about 12 minutes, right? And then the MIP, it was done. Like, the MIP wasn't played with, the MIP wasn't found, the MIP wasn't discussed, the MIP wasn't talked about. And I've held that grudge for four. I'm letting that go today. I release you from the bitterness. It happens, right? And I could get on my kids for that, but you know, I see that in me with my Father. God, please, 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 please. I remember praying this prayer on my waterbed. Well, I wasn't on my waterbed. I was kneeling at my waterbed. I promise you, I prayed this prayer 13, 14, 15 years old. God, you know this girl, Kelly, she doesn't like me. God, make her like me. Father, make her like. I prayed that prayer. You've been at your bedside. God, help us through this. I don't want to lose my this. I don't want to financially or relationally or spiritually or job or sickness. And we've just asked, please, 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 please. I don't want to be that church. I don't want to be that man. I don't want us to be the people that are so heavy on the please, 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 and then so light on the thank you. So we stopped this series, right? We're in this huge series, if you didn't know, Here Is in Heaven. And my goodness, I knew it was going to be explosive, right? My email box has had an uptick, right? It has been a heavy, beautiful, hard, good, worth it series that we're going to continue next week. But we stopped that series today because we have to celebrate, not to pat ourselves on the back. We want to be a church that it's nothing wrong with being heavy on the please, God. He likes that as long as our thank you matches our please, right? So that's what we're doing today with the microphone and with our worship and hopefully with our lives. We just want to be heavy on the thank you as we are on the please. And that's a general life, just in general, young people, right? I'm so excited about what God's doing with our student ministry and even our college age people, more of them showing up at our church, which we desperately need. It is a great age to watch people kind of go from that kid thing of say thank you because your parents told you to like realizing, man, I got it pretty good, right? This people, and maybe it's a parent, maybe it's an advisor, maybe it was a coach, but you, that part of that transition to, you know, boyhood to manhood or girlhood to womanhood is realizing, man, I really truly am thankful for people and what they've done in me and for me. And we say that. We want to be heavy. We just want to live that way. We have this event in Luke 17. Luke's a doctor. It's interesting. He wrote the Gospel of Luke, and he wrote it very technically as a physician would. And we're going to pick up kind of mid-story. Luke 17, verse 11. It's talking about Jesus. It says, on the way to Jerusalem, he, Jesus, was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. So he's just getting from where he wants to go or where he was to where he is. But there's never anything wasted with your life or with Jesus when he's going through Samaria and Galilee. Verse 12, as he entered a village, he's met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So Jesus has had a long walk. He's just getting into the village. And there are 10 lepers, not leopards, no D, lepers. Those are people with leprosy. Leprosy is this horrendous skin disease. It's contagious, it's painful, and once you get it in the first century, you are cast out. Right? You imagine that? Like, we got this nasty, I thought about like doing a hand-holding thing. I was like, we ain't doing that. There's too much junk in the room. There's this nasty cold going around. It's like cold on steroids, right? So that's awful, but then hopefully, it goes away, right? Leprosy never, ever went away. There was no cure. So what happened, right? My three kids, two kids are here, one's in the back doing lights. If one of my kids got leprosy, we would quarantine that kid and hopefully not catch it. And that kid would now go live on the outside of the village with the other lepers,
Right? I might go by and wave to them, but there was no hugging. They weren't a part of my family because I couldn't get leprosy. And if I did get leprosy, then now we're all going out as a family. We're cast out. We weren't allowed. So these 10 people with leprosy, we find out later, this is a multi-ethnic crew. There was no multi-ethnic, right? Back then, unless you get leprosy, then all of a sudden it doesn't matter where you came from. Right? Because you were forced to live together because you were lepers. So here's 10 of them. And before Jesus even gets into the village, they're shouting at him. And their request is, I mean, the bar is high. Not take away our pain, not pray for us, bless us. But what they're asking when they say have mercy on us, they're asking for healing. They were heavy on the pleas. Please, 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 Jesus, we want our lives back, right? Now, leprosy was visible, like you couldn't hide it, right? I could wear long sleeves, but I mean, it's all over your skin. If you got leprosy, everybody knows it. You imagine today, if our sin condition was visual, like we could go back and look at your arm today and we could tell what you did last night. Woo-wee. All right, we'd be wearing coats and hoodies and everything else. If every time you sinned against God, there was a physical representation of that sin. Oh my goodness. Right? Some people say, man, we would judge everybody. Actually, we probably judge a lot less because we see your junk too, right? Well, not me. I'd be walking around. No, unless your name is Jesus, right? You got a bunch of junk on your skin, right? So the gospel, that Jesus is always bringing us back to the gospel says you have a condition of sin and it's incurable just like leprosy. You can't do anything about it. Well, I want to, you know, make a good effort and a good life and do the best I can. That's great, but it's no cure. Right? It doesn't get you anywhere with a holy God, we're hopeless and helpless and headed to hell. That's our state without Jesus. If we would be more moved and excited to be healed from a physical condition than we would from the eternal, much more serious, soul sinful condition of sin, that's a problem. God wants to heal us from the inside out. He wants us to give us a new heart and a new life and a new purpose and peace and joy and a relationship. He wants to touch us and know us and walk with us and love us and change us day by day by day. That's what he came for. That's what we're about as a church. That's what we've been seeing and experiencing and we're going to continue to experience. That's what it's all about. Right now, if we could heal people from physical ailments, right? And I believe God still does that, don't get me wrong. But that's great. But these bodies, like we learned a few weeks ago, they're temporary anyway. Right? God may heal you so you can die of something else. Right? That's just real. But what he wants to do inside is forever. Right? He wants to fix something in you that you can never fix. Your goodness can't fix it. Well, I've helped a lot of people. Good for you, sinner. Right? Where in the word does it ever even apply that your goodness or your good deeds will remove your sin from you, right? That's worthless religion. That always says, Jesus, I didn't really need you in the first place. He didn't come to make you good. He came to make you alive, right? He came to make you new. And that's what we celebrate, what he's been doing, not just in our church. I mean, good grief, all over the place. So here's these 10 guys. Verse 14. When he saw them, he said to them, hey, go show yourselves to the priest. And as they went, they were cleansed. All right? So Jesus doesn't just like snap his fingers. He says he has a process, right? Jesus loves, even though he does all the work, he loves when we trust him enough just to take a step. Just to obey. I don't know what that looks like for you. I just got to believe there's not one human being from middle school on up to senior citizen. There's not one human being in the room that God doesn't have a next step for. And the blessing comes in that obedience. So for these guys, Jesus, I don't know why fully, he says, go to the temple, go see the priest. And in that command, he heals them. He removes their leprosy. Verse 15. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, so somewhere in the process, they looked down and, hey, my leprosy's gone. When he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. One dude saw this condition that separated me from my family, that I was never going to be able to be cured, that has changed my life for the worse, and I'll be like this forever. All of a sudden, I am healed. I got to go find Jesus. And he comes with a loud voice. I don't know if your family's like mine. You got one person in your family that's just louder than everybody else? Don't look at them. That's like, they know they're loud, right? Right? This happened to me yesterday. A certain individual came up to me and he was excited and passionate and wouldn't do anything wrong. I just had to say, dude, why are you yelling at me 3 feet away? Right? I'm right here. Right? But there are times where loud is the only way to come. Right? I need you, Christians in the room, and I know some of you aren't there yet, and we love you, and we're a church for you, and hang on. If you're a Christian follower of Christ in the room, you can't get healed from leprosy and come back whispering, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thanks, my skin looks good. I don't remember anything. Thank Jesus. Love you. Love you. Thank you. Right? These people were lepers. They were never going to be anything but lepers. You were a sinner. You were never going to be anything but a sinner. Right? I was down here thinking about my message and thinking about what's about to happen and just loving the story of this building that God wrote. I didn't know what to do. We're going to run out of space in the theater. Here's a dude asking me, what's your 3 to 5 year plan? I don't know. And I don't know. I don't have one today either. If you're hoping for that, I got nothing, right? I got no 3 to 5 year plan. I'm trying to think about the story of the video and how powerful it is. And we're singing that song, Faithful to the End, and you were by beside me all along. And you know what God took my mind to? Nothing about relentless. Nothing about church. He took me to where I was at my lowest, when I was an addict, when I was a sinner, when I was lost, when nobody, including me, would have believed I'd ever be on a stage with a microphone in 2019. There was a time in my story that I was so embarrassed from my sin and my walk and where I ended up. I was a pastor and then I wasn't. And I just didn't want to talk about it. And God took me from that to know people need to hear it and you need to hear it, because lepers don't need to act like they were never lepers. They need to celebrate that they're no longer lepers, right? What's the better story? Somebody who never had an issue and their skin looks good, or somebody who was wrecked and cast out with no hope and now their skin looks good, right? That's who we're about. That's what we're about. These 10 guys had their life changed in a physical way. Jesus wants to change us in a better way, in a spiritual way. And one dude was like, I got to go find this Jesus. And he came loud. Right, sometimes we'll, and there's nothing wrong with it, sometimes we'll do a service, and I'll teach, or somebody will teach, Raph will teach, or one of the worship team members will teach on worship, right? Raph, speaking of Raph, good grief, last week I was just so encouraged by his message. If you were gone somewhere, go listen to that. It's just so good for where we are as a church in this series. But we'll teach on worship, and our goal is to help you understand what worship is, and then we'll end the service with a song. Because after hearing us teach about worship, now you're going to sing, right? Because we kind of guilted you into it, right? Not that that's our goal. We're not doing that today, right? We're not singing anymore. But I want you to know, every Sunday and Monday at Relentless Church is about remembering what God has rescued us from. And when you focus on that, I don't have to teach you about worship. Because when you understand what you were rescued from and how he rescued you through Jesus on a cross, defeating death and your sin and taking your place and raising from the dead, when you dwell on that, not just know it mentally. Some of you have taught it in Sunday school since you were 3 years old. I'm not talking about knowing it mentally. I'm talking about feeling where you were and where you are, like I did on the front row 15 minutes ago. When you sit in that grace, you're going to come praising God with a loud voice. You're not going to care how good you sound. right? It's not, you're not singing. Some of you are like, man, I'm starting to really feel this worship and I'm singing, but I feel sorry for the person in front of me. You ain't singing to them. And guess what? Maybe you don't sound great. Guess what? They'll sit somewhere else next week. Right? Or you can do like the special holy people that sit up front. I sit up front because I don't have to worry about anybody hearing me, right? When you're in touch with what God has done for you, man, you come with this guy. He's coming. He said, I got to go find Jesus. I'm praising God with a loud voice. He fell on his face at Jesus' feet and he gave him thanks. There's nothing wrong with asking God. In fact, he invites it. If we're going to be as heavy as we are on the please, man, we got to be heavy on the thank you. And there's something in our nature, maybe my nature. You know, we've been blessed. We, as a family, we took a trip this week. And when we take a trip, which is weird, we don't pray every time we get in the van. All right? I think it's like there's a scripture. If you're going more than an hour, you should pray. I don't know. But when we take a trip, we pray. And we always pray something along the lines of, thank you for this vehicle that you've given us. And would you look over us? Would you give me wisdom as I drive? Keep me alert. Keep other drivers alert. Help this car work. Help us get to where we're going. We pray that. I'm not saying we've never forgotten, but I feel like we've never forgotten. Like we pray that on every family trip. Then we get where we're going, and we pray a prayer of just thank you. Thank you that we got here safely. Thank you that we didn't have this and that, and thank you for this and help us have whatever. And we mean both prayers, but if we're going to forget one prayer in our family, guess which one we forget? We forget to... We never forget it to be, oh, God, we know. Like, we watch the news. Crazy stuff can happen. God, just be with us. And it's not that we're not thankful. It's just we're so excited that we got there. And when I say we, it's really me. I'm supposed to be leading this thing. So it's not that I'm not grateful. It's just that something in me is so busy to get to the next thing that I can skip the thank you. I don't think these nine dudes were jerks. They'd had leprosy for who knows how long. They were going to go see their family. What's wrong with that? Well, Jesus says, here's the next verse. Now he, the one that came back, was a Samaritan, right? They all weren't Samaritans. Those were kind of half-breeds that were all kinds of racial issues that we'll get into another time. The guy that came back was a Samaritan, and Jesus answered. Jesus is kind of being a little way right here. He says, were not 10 cleansed? Like you don't know Jesus. You know that there were 10 cleansed. Where are the nine? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? And he wasn't saying that dismissively. He's just saying, this is the only, like, yeah, there were 10. And it's not like we're batting 70, 80% here. One? 10 guys were healed. One came back and found Jesus, because it's in our nature to move on to the next thing when God does amazing things, whether it's get us into a building we never dreamed of, whether it's heal in amazing ways. It doesn't mean we sit there and stay there forever. It just means we stop and we say and we worship with a loud voice. We acknowledge we didn't do this. You did. Thank you. And the bigger stuff you're asking, the more praise there's going to be. We've asked and seen big things in our church. We started, I've told you before, staff meetings in the early days were just me, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. It was three of us, you know, and now to have the staff that we have and growing and in all kinds of ways that we can measure and to see what God has brought us to in Honduras. And just again, we don't know what we're supposed to do as far as we're supposed to have this global mission, but where do we start? There's a bunch of need, and just God taking us to La Ceiba, Honduras, and sending a trip a few months ago. We're getting ready to announce to you the next trip and the next dates and who's going. We're now sponsoring, listen, education, spiritual, gospel, healthcare. We're now sponsoring as a church 57 kids in this village, right? Whoever goes on this next trip, they're going to know Relentless Church, right? 50-some kids in this one compassion center are sponsored by people sitting around you and with you. Like, we couldn't pull that off. There's so many servants. Some of them stood up earlier that were here opening day. A lot of our people that serve this church were not here on opening day. So many people that sacrifice and love it and get here early and leave late and teach kids and work with students and come on Thursday nights to practice for all the stuff that God has provided, this building that we told the story of on the video, just allowing us now to reach people in a way and on a scale that we couldn't at the theater. A few weeks ago, to have our first baptism service with our own self-built baptistry and baptize our 71st person in the history of Relentless Church. We've asked a lot. Not just me, and I've done a ton of it. God, please, I don't know what, I'm in struggling. God, help. Bring people, bring money, bring servants, bring leaders, bring people that can sing and play and all that. We've got to stop sometimes as a church and as individuals and just say, thank you. So we're hoping to do that and are doing that today as we say every week that we're becoming a gospel-centered, forever-focused, multi-ethnic movement of God. And we've seen God bring us and take us to centering on the gospel. What does that really look like? And what does it look like to be really focused on forever, not living for this life, but for the next? And this multi-ethnic movement, which we'll continue that series next week of what that really looks like. And hang with us. If this first 3 weeks has been really hard for you, just stay with us through this series. So we're going to keep doing that. But today we just wanted to acknowledge that God is building something beautiful. And I guess I can say something today that I wouldn't have said 2 years ago or 3 years ago. And again, this isn't any kind of pride. It's just God being good to us. You guys, you ever watch Shark Tank people? All right, a few of us that like good shows. It's a good show. So Shark Tank, it's kind of predictable now. It's been so many seasons, but people come in and they ask for like crazy amounts of money. And the question is, what are your sales? Right? And sometimes these people selling this crazy stuff, like, oh, they don't got no sales. And we've 1.2 million in the last 12 months. And the sharks, they're like, well, you know, and they invest, whatever. And then a lot of times people get asked that question of like, yo, we're pre-sale or we've got, you know, $1,500 in sales, which is nothing on the show. And they make fun of them and laugh at them. And if you don't have a track record that your product has been proven, right, it's a little harder to get that investment, right? So we're not arrived. Don't hear any of that. I'm just saying, man, 71 people and the story of the building and our staff and on Honduras and our ministries and so many things I don't even have time to get into. Like, we got some sales now, right? So I want to invite you into this. This is not a sales pitch. This is God is moving, right? We couldn't pull this off. Right? There's nobody smart enough. We couldn't make this happen. God has shown his goodness. Even if you're in the room, you're like, man, I don't know if I believe in God. I'm still skeptical of a lot of this stuff. How do you explain this building? How do you explain us having a need and having a problem and God putting a couple in the theater 3 days after we asked God, what do we do? And he says, oh, I've already answered your prayer before you even knew it. Right? And there's so many things about those 71 stories and about our story that I can't explain outside of God. So is it just saying thank you? I think it's more than just the verbal thank you. This guy wasn't just coming back and saying, hey, Jesus, appreciate you, right? His leprosy was gone. He was jumping around and shouting and praising and bowing at his feet. Like, he was coming with more than just a verbal thank you. And now here we are. This is before Jesus went to the cross and rose from the dead and started his multi-ethnic church. So now we get this verse in Romans that I want to send us out with. It's Romans 12:1. He's talked about the gospel and being rescued and adopted, all the stuff we always talk about. And then he says this, therefore, because of all that being true, I urge you now, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy. So thinking about how merciful and good God has been to you, think about that. Think about the mercy. Think about where he brought you from. Offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. We're not in the old covenant where we have to sacrifice animals and all those things. Jesus was the ultimate sacrifice. Now we offer our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act. This is true and proper worship. Worship with your life. So your thank you, yes, it comes through song. Yes, it comes in a lot of ways. It comes through your life. It comes through how you treat people that are hard to love later today. It's how you spend your time. It's how you spend your money. It's your whole life. This is our spiritual act of worship. That's how you thank him. And a piece of that, an important piece of that, is how you interact with God's church and how you serve God's church. Right, we've had so many people that have given so much. And I'm not talking about finances, although that's true too. Like, we became a self-sustaining church in 2017, meaning we pay all of our own bills without outside help from other churches. And you guys have carried us with your generosity. And our partners are the core of that. We'll talk more about that in a few weeks. But I'm not talking about finances when I say what you've given. I'm talking about your time and your effort, your talent. And I just want to thank you publicly, whether you've been here from 2014 or since January. If you are serving Relentless Church, if you're on cleanup crew, if you're greeting people, well, I just greet people. Stop it. That is huge. God is using you to set somebody's heart up to hear the power of the gospel, right? If you're holding babies, if you're working with students, if you're on whatever, if you're serving at Relentless Church, I want to thank you, right? Let's all thank them together, whoever. We just don't get to where we are. By the way, I should tell you, because it's not about numbers, because you can fill a room and have nothing to do with the gospel. But for the first time on non-holidays over the past few months, we've had 200 people at Relentless Church, right? So we hit that magic number that we had to start with. But God showed us a long time ago. There's no formula to this. He's bigger than any of that, and he's showing that, but he's growing us. Right? And the way he's grown us is through just beautiful, faithful, consistent, behind-the-scenes servants of God. So I wanted to thank you. But here's what I'm learning. As I've never been a lead pastor before Relentless Church. So this isn't like my fifth, figured it all out kind of thing. This is my first lead pastor gig, right? 5 years old today. Here's what I've learned a lot in the last 6 months as we moved in this building. One of the best ways I can thank you guys who are working your tails off, and you wouldn't say you're working your tails off. You're saying, I love serving Jesus. That's how you would say it. But you're working your tails off. One of the best ways I can really, truly thank you, other than just saying thank you, is to recruit other people to help with the work. We're in a good place. This is not the end of our fifth birthday. Oh, here he comes. Oh, that's slick right there, man. He's going to come. Listen, we're in good shape. Right, we're growing financially. We're growing with our volunteers. We got more kids and more people, and we're healthier in a lot of ways than we've ever been as a church. This is not, hey, get on board or we're going to fall apart. It's the opposite. But I'm telling you, the best way that we can stay healthy and the best way we can be celebrating who knows what 5 years from now is to continue to add on. And here's the beautiful thing about our church. You guys that are not serving in our church, it's not because you're bad people. It's because we haven't told you we need you, right? We have not figured out to do that well and scheduled. So a lot of you that have been coming to church the last 3 months, 6 months in this building, you didn't even know there was any holes. I'm just telling you, there's not holes. We just got some people carrying a lot. And as the leader, I got to love them, and I can say thank you. The people are getting ready to vacuum this room. I can tell them thank you, and I can mean it, and I hope that means something to them. But you know what probably means more? Let me get some other people that you're not vacuuming every single week. So maybe you can go get some lunch before 1:30. I can thank the people in the parking crew, and some of you, the same person parks you every week. You kind of feel like you got a relationship, right? That's my guy, right? And that's great. And our parking crew would love to do it every week. But you know what they need sometimes? They need to be in here for the whole service. They need to sit with their spouse and worship, sit with their kids or sit with their parents. We're dreaming and praying about getting back to two services because you guys keep bringing people, praise God. One of the reasons we want to get there is because the people that are taking care of our elementary and preschool and nursery kids right now, they're not in the birthday service. Because we only have one. How can we love them? We can say thank you and give them a cookie, right? We're doing that today, literally, give them a cookie. But we could also invite more people into this. You can invest in this thing, to use the Shark Tank example. We got room for you. We have needs, and our kids especially, and guest services especially, and and clean up, and there's a whole list of stuff. Here's how technological we are. I can't get over, this is me. I do it probably once a week. This is really weird. I go into Google Maps and I just put in Relentless Church, and this place comes up, and it just makes me smile every single time. I think it's the coolest thing in the history of the world that Relentless Church is on the map. Well, if you want to serve, here's how technological we are today. And trust me, I have no idea how we do this. It's our team that pulls this off. All you got to do is text serve one, right? S-E-R-V-E and the number one. I don't think the capitalization matters. To the number 97000, 97,000. If you do that, I did it this morning to make sure it was true. If you do that, you'll get a text back with a link that you can go up and you can just sign up for one of these areas and you can join the team. Right? And I'm saying this on our fifth birthday because God's moving. It's not because we're good. It's because he's good. He's shown it, and he has only scratched the surface of what he's going to do in Relentless Church. I want you to be a part of that. That's it. Right? If you're feeling any kind of, oh, pressure, oh, here it comes, don't sign up. Right? Don't. We don't want pressure, guilty volunteers greeting people. They're going to smell your bitterness. Right? Don't do it. Right? If you're here and there's a bunch of you, you didn't know we had needs. We haven't told you what to do. We haven't told you how to do it. It's not on you. It's on us. We need your help. We're ready today. Text that. Pick a box. There's like 100 choices of something you might be involved with. We'll follow up with you. It'll be a beautiful thing. Now is the time to get in on this, right? Because it's about our lives as living sacrifices, serving his church, loving people, and saying, man, we're not going to be a church that's heavy on the please and light on the thank you. Right? What are we going to look like in 2024? Man, I don't have a clue. I don't know where we'll be. I don't know how many of us there will be. I just know God is abundantly good and faithful. And I don't want anybody in this room missing out on what he's about to do. And it's not just to get you on a team. It's to get you to know some folks, right? To serve together and see relationships happen like only God can do. Man, he's been good to us, Relentless Church. I'm so thankful. I didn't wake up this morning like I did in September of 2014. And oh my goodness, who's going to drag the trailer? Oh my goodness, is anybody going to show up? Oh my goodness, am I going to puke before I get up there to preach? I woke up today just, man, I can't wait to be with our church and to get to live this out with you guys together. So I'm going to ask you to stand up and we're going to pray this out. If you don't like technology, God bless you. You can go out here to the table. You don't have to text anything. If you don't like it, if that's hard for you, just go out there. You can sign up. We'll take you there. But we're ready to go to the next level. We need more people to do what God's called us to do. If that's you, man, it's don't wait. Go on. Text. Have a conversation. And young people, like this is not for the 21 and older crowd, right? We already got kids serving all over the place in preschool and in a parking lot. So don't exempt yourself because of anything, right? And we'll pick back up next week with this beautiful Here Is in Heaven series. Pray with me. Father, I thank you for all you have done. And God, when we say all you have done, that's a ton. We're only 5 years old, God. We're still just getting into kindergarten. We don't know nearly as much as we think we do, like most kindergartners. But God, here's what we do know. We know that you have rescued and adopted us. We know that you are changing hearts and lives. And we know for your goodness and for reasons that you only fully know, you have had your hand on Relentless Church. You have blessed with leadership. You have blessed with servants. You have blessed in all kinds of crazy ways. You have blessed with this facility. God, you have blessed us with a worship team. You have blessed us with talent. You have blessed us with diversity that we prayed for, not just that we'd be diverse, but we'd be family. God, you have blessed our church, and we just want to thank you from the bottom of our hearts, but we don't want to just say it into a microphone. We want to live it. God, connect in our brains the dots between what you've done for us and how we get to go love people. No matter how they treat us back, help us just go love people because you've loved us. And God, for those in the room, and I pray that there's dozens, man, they're excited about what you're doing here. They like what they hear. You're speaking and loving on them, and they didn't know that there's a need for them on this train, that we need their gifts and their talents. God, I pray that you would empower them and give them whatever they need to sign up, to text, to do that. God, I pray that our servants, the base of servanthood at this church just grew crazy today, and that you would launch us now into our next year, and it would be a year, God, when we look back 365 days from now, it would be a year where we cannot even explain how you did what you did. We believe that. We love you. We're so thankful. And I thank you for this day in this church. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Happy birthday, church.